Chapter 26. Dell wasn't sure how to behave around Pia Cow anymore. He had orders from his commanding officer that it was time to close the net. Dell had a small part to play, but not a major role. That was fine with him. He'd grown content to stay in his engine room over the years, and while he had quickly readapted to a field assignment, the clandestine nature of the operation had chafed. He'd gotten around it by focusing on the shared project with Pia Cow. But now his main task was to unobtrusively get everything ready for a fast getaway once, as Iden had grimly phrased it, all hell breaks loose. So he found he had to force himself to behave normally around the Chadra fan, while making excuses as to why he couldn't go down into the Crystal Cave with him today. "I've got some work to do I've been putting off," he said, which was the truth as far as it went. "I understand," Pia Cow said. "All of us are shocked by Sen's disloyalty. It's a difficult thing to grasp. Sometimes it's good to be alone for a bit. Just tinker, do something with your hands, and let your brain stop running everything." Damn it, the little guy understood. "Thanks," he said. "That's exactly how I feel right now." He cocked his head as if he had an idea. "No one else knows about the statues, right? I didn't think anyone else would be interested." "I feel better if someone accompanied you today," Dell said. Pia Cow's normally bright eyes were dull with sorrow. He looked thinner, frailer than he had before. Sen's betrayal had been a blow. The words were very true, and also had a purpose. "Why don't you let the mentor in on it? He seems like a pretty smart person. He might have some suggestions that techies like us wouldn't even think of." Pia Cow brightened. "He might at that. It could be a good distraction for him, too. Those statues will yield their secrets yet," he chirped, shaking his small fist in pretend defiance. Then he turned and went back toward the sleeping cavern. Dell made his own way toward the ship Iden had chosen. He had taken a few steps, and then he stopped dead in his tracks.
"Let your brain stop running everything," Pia Cow had said.
"Hey, Pia Cow!" The Chadra fan paused and turned around. Dell jogged back, catching up to him, and beamed down at him. "You figured it out! How the statues worked!" Pia Cow blinked.
"I did? Well, how clever of me! What exactly did I figure out?"
"Brain waves," Dell said triumphantly. "The original creators must have had some form of telepathy. The crystals must be able to somehow detect brain activity. They're not connected with one another inside the statues in any physical way, so it has to be non-physical connection."
"Brilliant!" Pia Cow clapped his hands excitedly. "The mentor is, as you say, very knowledgeable. Perhaps he has run across something similar."
Dell gave what felt like the first genuine smile in ages. There was a lot he couldn't do for Pia Cow, a lot he shouldn't even want to do. But at least he'd been able to make some contribution towards solving the mystery of row upon row of still, silent statues with organs made of glowing purple crystal. He turned back to the task at hand. When he was a safe distance away from the main gathering cavern, he clicked on his comm. "The mentor will be with Pia Cow for a while," he said.
"How long?"
"Not sure. At least an hour, I would think." The mentor seemed to be a highly educated and well-traveled man. He probably would be thrilled with the discovery and might be gone all day.
"More than enough time. Good job, Dell."
He clicked off the comm and took a deep breath. He could focus now. Dell Miko wouldn't let the other two remaining members of Inferno Squad down. Everyone but Dell, Pia Cow, and the mentor were in the main gathering cavern. Staven, with Hask, as always, called out a greeting to Iden, and she replied pleasantly. What a difference, Iden thought bitterly. All it took was Sen's death. The partisan leader must have shared something about the previous night's discussion with Iden, because Rue, Halia, and Dana all seemed comfortable with her presence. They were wrapping up food items and tucking them into a small crate.
"We're going to go looking for some more Dana fruit," Halia explained.
"I need to get out of here, Dana said simply. Of course, these three wouldn't want to spend more time here than necessary right now. Iden refused to look at the spot on the floor where Sen had died. Someone, she didn't know who, had cleaned up the blood. I can't take this constant semi-dark right now, Dana continued. I need to have sun on my face and eat something fresh from a tree. Want to come with us, Iden? She gave them a wan smile. I think I'll just go for a long run. I need to move. Just make sure you bring back enough for me, okay? All of them understood that, too. And Dana, looking old and very tired, said, There'll be enough for everyone, I promise. Are you ready? The Coggies nodded and walked off. The despair in the air was so thick, Iden fancied she could smell it. It's not a bad idea, Staven said. You're not going to pick fruit, Hask said. No, but I can sure as hell go for a flight. Get out of here for a while.
Go, clear your head, Hask replied.
Iden and I will see if we can't go give Del a hand.
Staven nodded a quick farewell, then he strode out. For a moment, the two sat quietly, making sure no one would return unexpectedly. Then Iden asked, Who cleaned up the blood?
Dana, he said. She was crying.
Iden nodded. She was silent for a moment, not wanting to think about Dana crying over Sen.
Okay, she said at last. This is working out better than we had hoped.
Del got Pia Cow and the Mentor out of the way, and now the rest are gone for a while.
We don't know how long.
Dana and the Coggies will be gone for a good chunk of time, and I'm willing to bet Staven won't be back for at least an hour. Just keep an eye out and call me if anyone returns so I can head out on my run.
Yes, Captain.
Iden couldn't recall when she'd begun calling Gideon by his surname. It was before Sen died. And now, he was calling her Captain. Another casualty of this mission. The thought saddened her, but she didn't dwell on it. She rose and headed out to the sleeping area and went to where the Mentor's bedroll was, neatly tied up and put away. A few personal items he had were contained in a single over-the-shoulder bag. Like all the Partisans, he traveled light. Iden expected a flicker of guilt, and when it rose to the surface, she quashed it quickly and set to work. She was becoming convinced that the Mentor was the leak. She could believe that the older man would keep Staven around, even let him stay the leader, if the Mentor was the holder of vital information. She couldn't see the reverse. Even if Staven had loved the Mentor's goddaughter years ago, even if they had both respected Saw Gerrera, Iden knew that Staven's dislike ran deep. If he didn't need the Mentor would not be here. Maybe not dead, but with another cell. No. Staven was the leader, but the Mentor had something he wanted. Staven was being forced to dance to the other man's tune, and he hated it. There was a good chance, better than good, that the Mentor was smart enough not to leave important information with his bedroll. He probably had it on him at all times. She would, if she were in his position. But the search she was performing was twofold. She wanted to know if he were the leak, and who the hell he was. There wasn't much. Some ration cubes and nutritive milk for snacks. No comlink, he'd taken that with him. There were a few trinkets whose significance would be known only to him. And there was a data pad. Can he really have been so stupid? She thought. It would make things so much easier if he had, but she would lose all respect for the man. The data pad was locked, of course, but it was a token attempt, and it was the matter of a few moments before Iden was able to slice in. Quickly, she began to skim. Then, after a moment, she paused, realizing what she'd come across. The Mentor had kept a journal. All those times he'd gone off alone, claiming to want to be with his thoughts, it made sense. He'd wanted to chronicle those thoughts, record them in a considered manner. She checked the chrono. She had time. Maybe this wasn't what it seemed to be. Maybe it was a code.
Iden settled down to read. There was no code, but there was information, none of which pertained to the team's current mission, and all of which stunned her. After half an hour, reeling with what she'd just discovered, she put the mentor's things away, taking care to leave the impression that someone had gone through them and tried to cover their tracks. She got to her feet and calmed the team.
"Nothing here we can use," she said. "We'll have to rely on Plan B. I'm going to change and head out for a run. Hask, you were with me this whole time and you saw me leave."
"Copy that," Hask replied.
"Del, how's that ship coming?"
"She'll be ready for takeoff when we are," he said. "Going to grab some rations, too."
"Negative on the rations. Either we'll get out and they'll shoot us down and we won't need them, or we'll soon be in Imperial space and can make contact with the Admiral. We don't want to tip our hand before we need to. Anything you need from here?"
"Nothing I can't live without," Del said.
"Shame," Hask said. He and Del each carried a handheld blaster, and there were more within reach in the cavern's alcoves. "Okay, then. We just need to be ready. I'm betting things will start moving fast after that." She clicked off the comlink and set off for a run as she had said, trying to process everything she'd learned. Part of her wanted to tell her team, but she needed to hold on to this particular card in case she needed to play it. One thing she had been completely truthful about. Things would very soon be kicked into unstoppable motion. Staven returned about an hour later. Hask calmed Iden, who turned around and headed back. By the time she arrived, sweaty, flushed, and much calmer than she had been before she left, Staven had already started drinking. Good. That would help. Dana, Rue, and Halia returned from their own trip about an hour after that, looking noticeably better and bearing delicious fruit. Del drifted in at some point, smudged from working on the shuttle, and Pia Kao and the mentor arrived, talking animatedly right before dinner time. "Del," the mentor exclaimed, "I can't get over what you and Pia Kao have been doing. He tells me you theorized that the crystals responded to brainwaves." "Crystals?" Halia asked sharply. The mentor turned to the Coggies. "I've just visited an underground cavern lit by crystals. Similar, I believe, to the ones on your world. More astonishing than that is that hidden away in this cave are perhaps thousands of ceramic statues with crystals inside them that correspond to human organs. Piakau thinks they aren't statues, but machines, droids, if you will. And Del believes that the creators might have been telepathic." "Well," Staven said, "haven't you all been busy?"
"We have,"
Piakau said, apparently not noticing Staven's sneer.
"But it's nothing of use to us, yet," he added, looking at Del.
"If it's no use to us, then it's no use," Staven said. "Unless the mentor here wants to write a paper to present to some university somewhere, you need to quit wasting your time on this. We still have work we have to do, don't we, mentor?"
The mentor's enthusiasm bled out of him, and Iden watched as he almost visibly put on armor against Staven. She was having a hard time looking at the older man, now that she finally knew who and what he was. But she had to keep behaving normally. But not for much longer.
"Our fearless leader is quite right," the mentor said, his voice clipped and calm. "We'll talk about our future plans after dinner. In the meantime, I'll be back in a few moments. I want to jot down some notes on these statues while it's fresh in my mind."
"Jot down some notes in your journal," Iden thought. Her heart sped up, but she got up and prepared her plate as if everything was normal. When she caught Del and Hask's eyes, she gave them a slight nod.
"Be ready."
Not 5 minutes later, the mentor stormed back in. Iden thought she had seen him furious before, but that was a pale imitation of the anger that radiated almost palpably from his slim frame.
"Staven," he said, and his carefully controlled voice held a cold edge. "A word with you."
Staven paused in his eating and scowled.
"Mentor," he said, "after dinner."
"No. Now."
The leader rolled his eyes and put another forkful of meat into his mouth. The mentor closed the distance between them in three strides and knocked Staven's tray out of his hands. A gasp went up. Everyone was suddenly on high alert. Apparently, this had never happened before. Staven was on his feet, his face flushed. "What the hell do you think?" The mentor seized Staven's tunic and brought the leader's face to within centimeters of his own. Between clenched teeth, he growled. "I said, now." He let go of Staven and turned, marching outside. Staven's hand dropped to the blaster at his belt. Then he clenched his fist and followed the mentor. Thus far, all had gone according to Inferno Squad's plan. But now, there was no plan. They just had to be ready to react to whatever happened between the two men. Everyone was silent. Iden caught snatches of conversation when one or the other raised his voice.
"Went through my personal property. You had no right to..."
"Nobody went through your things. Care enough about
any more missions until..."
"Damn well better. That was part of the deal for..." Finally, Staven stalked back in. He ran his fingers through his blue hair even as he swore, the epitome of someone who'd been bested. Then he planted his hands on his waist and calmed himself. He looked at his companions.
"So, things are gonna change around here, just letting you know. Gid, walk with me."
Hask rose obligingly, and the two men left. Dana stared after them, her mouth open. She was supposedly second in command, but Staven hadn't even looked at her. He'd asked for Hask. It looked as if things had already changed, Iden thought. "I'm going after the mentor," Iden said. She paused to grab a blaster from the supply area. At Rue's expression, she said, "Just in case." He did look pretty upset. Del volunteered.
"Do you know where he's going?"
"I have an idea."